Please turn with me to the second chapter of the Epistle of Colossians. In the previous session, we began to look at the verses in the first chapter that proclaim the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, all the fullness dwells, and we have God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. Chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew the great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul did not know most of the believers in Colossae and Laodicea, yet he had a great desire that their hearts might be comforted. The biblical usage of the word heart refers to the seat of our emotions or the innermost reaches of our mind. If your heart is comforted, you are at peace and without worry. Our heart is our mindset, the automatic response part of our thought process. The word comforted is translated from the Greek word parakaleo, which literally means, in this usage, to be being called beside. This is an idiom that means to be in the process of receiving encouragement and comfort. If you recall that Jesus said that the Comforter would be sent, the Comforter is the Paraclete, the one that calls aside. English does not really have an equivalent, but the figure of speech presents the mind picture of one coming alongside to support, encourage, and comfort you. Paul had a great desire that we be in the process of being supported, encouraged, and comforted. Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Christ in us is the Paraclete. Christ in us is our hope of glory. Verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. To get the full impact of this second verse, it is helpful to read the literal translation. The English rearrangement of the word order obscures some of the meaning. That the ones being united in the love of God be being comforted and encouraged in their innermost being to the point of full assurance in the understanding and realization of the secrets of God in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the secrets of God are stored in Christ. The word treasures comes from the Greek word thesaurus. To us, a thesaurus is a book that we use to find synonyms or the many ways to express the meanings of a word. But the Greek word thesaurus refers to the place that the treasure is stored. Hence the book is called a thesaurus. Christ is the thesaurus of all God's wisdom and knowledge. He is the storehouse. He is in us. We are in Him. Did it ever occur to you that we are part of God's treasure? In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, which is in sharp contrast to the doctrines and philosophies of man. Paul continues in verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Have you ever been beguiled? According to Webster, to beguile is to lead by deception or to cause to believe something that is untrue. Here is a list of synonyms, speaking of a thesaurus, for beguile. It means to betray, bluff, to burn, to cheat, to chisel, to con, to deceive, to delude, to double cross, to dupe, entice, exploit, to finesse, flim flam, jip, hoodwink, impose on, to jockey, to juggle, to lure, manipulate, mislead, play, play for a sucker, to rook, to rope in, to scam, to seduce, to shave, to snow, to stick, string along, suck in, to take in, to trick, to betray, to bluff, to delude, double cross, dupe, fool, hoodwink, mislead, take in, or to trick. To beguile, with enticing words. To entice is to lure, to tempt, to attract, to bait, cajole, coax, decoy, draw, entrap, lead on or seduce, or to tempt. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, join in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. If you have received Christ, Christ indwells you, empowers you, and makes you able to walk rooted in him. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted is a verb in the perfect passive tense, which should be read here as having been rooted. In ancient Greek non-biblical writings, rooted was used in two different ways. In its literal use, it was an agricultural term that was used in relation to planting. In the figurative sense, it was used to refer to the foundation of a building or the solid stance of a sportsman or a soldier. The perfect passive tense tells us that we were not the instigator of the act of being rooted, but instead we were the receiver of the action. Perfect passive is used to denote an action in the past that has ongoing results and effect. So to fully communicate the tense in English, we could say, having been rooted in the past, we are now rooted and will always be rooted. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord, you are able to walk in him because God has rooted you within Christ and placed Christ in you. Our root, our foundation is Christ. All else is sinking sand. Psalms 1:3-4 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Please note that our rooting is not in education, philosophy, worldly knowledge, experience, religion, or any other fleshly thing. We are rooted in him. Any other root or foundation is on sinking sand. In the 1770s, a man named Edward Mote wrote, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We are rooted in Him. The second chapter of Ephesians makes it clear that God was the one who initiated and carried out our rooting in Christ. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God made us to sit. Sit is a position of rest, a position of stability, rooted. We are rooted together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Again, we are not the ones performing the action, but it is God who caused us to sit in Christ. As Christians, having been rooted refers to our spiritual birth or infilling of Holy Spirit and the ongoing outpouring that results from having been rooted. Did you ever see a tomato plant reach up and stab itself into the ground and say, "There now, I'm rooted"? We did not and cannot plant ourselves or cause ourselves to be planted. Ephesians 2:8 through 10 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." The accuracy, precision, and specificity of the original Word of God is truly amazing. So having been planted and having a solid foundation that cannot be moved, we are being progressively built up in Him. Built up is a verb in the present passive tense that should be read as being built upon. It is present ongoing action, but we are the receiver of the action. God is the actor. He acts in Christ in us and through our brothers and sisters who are outpouring the Spirit of Christ on our behalf. When we interact with one another, we are to build up, encourage, and comfort one another in love. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, within whom is hidden all the treasures of godly wisdom and knowledge. The word philosophy is philo, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine type of love. Sophie, man's wisdom, flim-flam wisdom. Put those two words together and you end up with philosophy. Philosophy is rooted in the flesh and vain deceit. It's based on the logic of the flesh, which is always deceitful and vain. Philosophy is not according to the revelation of Christ. Philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and rudiments of the world, are used to spoil you. Have you ever checked out the meaning of that little word, spoil? The original Greek word is soulag, ogeo. The literal meaning is one leading attached. It is the word picture or idiom that describes a defeated captive being led away bound and attached in a line of slaves, stumbling along being punished for the slightest pause or twitch. if you have been spoiled by the philosophies and traditions of men which come from the stoichia or rudiments of the cosmos, you have been led away captive. Now, based on that information, does it really matter which doctrines you listen to, which organization you partnership with? A little bit of spiritualism mixed in doesn't hurt anything, does it? Indulgences? Sure, I'll sell you some. What can it hurt? A gold dust sprinkling gem peddling angel? Well, sure, it'll bring 'em running. The deceptive enticements are legion. Paul warns us to beware lest any take us captive with the traditions and philosophies of man that emanate from the very depths of hell. Verse 9, for in him, that is Christ, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That word fullness again is the filling. In Christ dwelleth all the filling of God, and you are complete. Did you hear that? Do you get that? And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Contrary to the philosophies and traditions of most denominations, the Bible declares that we are complete in Jesus Christ. Complete in Jesus, who is the head over all to the church. Just what is complete? Again, we will go to a thesaurus and find a few synonyms for complete. All, entire, filled, exhaustive, faultless, full, intact, integrated, replete, thorough, unabbreviated, unabridged, unbroken, uncondensed, uncut, undiminished, undivided, unimpaired, unreduced, whole. You are exhaustively, wholly, thoroughly, completely filled to overflowing in Christ, who is the head. That means you are not condensed, deficient, empty, incomplete, lacking, missing, short, or wanting. In summary, Paul has warned us to beware of any philosophy or tradition that leads us away from living in the realization that we are complete in Christ. It's not of works, lest any should boast. You are complete. To claim the opposite would be to say, we are deficient in him who only claims to be the head. When we buy the lie that we are still under the law and must perform to be good enough, we reject the headship of Jesus Christ and move ourselves under the rudiments of the world, under the course of this world, and we know who runs the world right now. Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But now you are complete in him, which is the head. For in Christ dwells all the filling of God, and Christ, who has all the filling of God, has filled us. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are complete.